speaking to you this morning on But God, a very uneventful title, but something that I hope will hold a great deal of information for all of us, no matter what age we are, to be able to use and to take home with us and live lives that are transformed. I want us to leave different from this room than when we walked in a couple minutes ago, myself included. So let's open in a word of prayer and give this over to the Lord and ask Him to guide us. Father, we do thank You this morning for who You are. I thank You for each of these ladies that are here. Thank You for those who are still on their way, and just pray that You would give them safety in their travels. I do ask that You would let the words of our mouths and the meditations on which we dwell during these next few moments be acceptable in Your sight, because You truly are our rock and our Redeemer. So, Father, I just want to praise You this morning with my words and my actions. Work in my heart first. Teach me about who You are, that I might in turn be able to live that and then teach others also. Thank You for what You will do and the fact that we can worship You, because we come to You in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, would you? Let's start right there to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to read something that's called the Magnificat. Some of you have heard of that, some of you haven't. I'm going to not offend anybody, but I'm going to tell you, Luke, it goes Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you turn in your New Testament, it's Old Testament, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And so Luke, the very first chapter, verse 39. Let's start there. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And then in verses 46 through 56, Mary praises the Lord. And listen to the words of this girl who was a teenager. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He has regarded the lowly estate of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty hath done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away empty. He hath helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Let's stop with that one, actually. This is a teenage girl who had gone through a great deal of heartache over the last few months. And during this time period, imagine being shunned for doing what's right. And some of you go, yeah, that happened to me yesterday, or that happened to me this morning already. And we think so often that we are alone in what our struggles are. As teens, as adult women, that the adult women outnumber the teens in this session right now, and that's great, because this applies to all of us. And when we see what God did through the life of Mary and Ruth and Esther, I hope that our lives will be transformed and we will come to know God in the same way that these women did. They didn't fight back with angry words. They didn't say, "But God, you don't understand my situation. You don't get it. You don't know my mom." I do know your mom, so be careful. Or, "You don't know my situation. You don't know the girls at my school. You don't know the ladies I work with. You don't know the situation. But God, how come? I mean, that's not fair. She's so mean, and all the boys like her. She's so awful, and her husband is succeeding." And we think, "But God." And instead, Mary said, "All of these things have happened to me, but God is my God." She took the "but God" and turned it into, here's the contrast. "I don't care about this. Let me look and see who God is. And that's where we're going to focus this morning. I can tell you how to dress modestly. I can tell you what kind of boy to look for, what kind of way you should act in your home towards your husband or your children. I can give you a list of things that tell me you are doing right and living right. Or I can tell you about God, and that's going to cover all of it. And that's where I want our focus to be this morning, on who God is. We're going to leave here learning a couple things that you can put into practice. Because to me, if we all sit here and go, okay, and do nothing about it when we walk out that door, it's just a bunch of hot air. And I didn't drive from Milwaukee just to blow some hot air. So I hope we can all grow together through this. Mary, this young girl, could say all these things about God, not just because it suddenly popped into her because the angel had come to her. She had studied him. She knew him. So I want us to start, number one, first of all, I'm not giving you an outline this morning. I'm not giving you anything else because we're just talking. Because I like just chat. When you think about knowing God, how do you get to know him better? Interactive here. How do you get to know him? By praying, talking to him. How else? Through the Bible, through Bible study. How else? Through church. That's right. Coming to church, youth group things. You're going to get that fellowship. You're going to learn new things. I went home last night and I thought, wow, praise the Lord. I learned so many new things last night, and good reminders even, but things that God teaches us as we study his word. We talk about having devotions, devoting our time to the Lord. But so often, like Mrs. Jones said last night, and I thought, oh, good, I'm talking about that tomorrow. That's great. We so often, that's the thing that gets set aside. I'm so busy. Wednesday, I'm a church secretary. And Wednesday happened to be the busiest day for we have 7 pastors currently, and 4 secretaries, and it was 3 secretaries. It was everybody's busiest day. Everybody was just here, going all over the place. And I went home and I thought, Lord, you understand that I've got a big trip coming up. I just got to set some, I'll just go in the morning. I'll just read in the morning. And I thought, oh, good grief, that's what I'm talking about. Of course not. So I need to make sure that I have some time with him. But when we think about having time with the Lord, what is the number one reason that people don't?
Laziness.
That's bottom line, and it really big. What else? Several excuses. Right. We want to sleep. All of those boil down to, I don't have time. I don't have time. And those who are moms or teens, you get busy and active in your school schedules. I've got a history test, an English test, a science test. I have to have my verses memorized, and we're in the volleyball state championship tomorrow. And so I don't have time. We're going to do something a little bit interesting. Rachel, you're going to be my helper.
Okay.
Can you see the clock all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Rachel's going to time us. Today is 10th day of March, so I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 10. A very simple way to go about reading your Bible, but Proverbs has 31 chapters. This is not new with me. You've heard it 700 times, but it's a good reminder. Proverbs has 31 chapters. There are 31 days in the month, so you're going to read Proverbs chapter 10 on the 10th day. It's a great way to start out your morning. Then do your in-depth Bible study later, because it's just going to give your mind the get up and go, and it's going to point it in the right direction. We ask the Lord to guide our words and our thoughts, and then we fill our thoughts with something else. So we're going to have garbage in, garbage out. You put good in, you're going to have good out. And those are going to be his words that are coming out of your mouth. Proverbs chapter 10. Number one excuse for people not having devotions, I don't have time. Rachel, when it gets to the 3 thing there, okay, to the quarter after, I'm going to start reading. And I'm going to read Proverbs 10, and I want you to notice that I'm going to read slowly. And I might even talk to you a couple times in between. Here we go. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. He who has a slack hand, laziness, becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. Now, if you're like me and you're reading in the morning, you see that that goes to the second page, and that makes you freak out even more that you don't have time. And notice that I inserted that whole paragraph in there, okay? Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool shall fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. I love these next couple words, verses. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous leads to life, but the wages of the wicked to sin. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the midst of words, sin is not lacking. Good reminder. But he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous shall be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Stop. How long did we go? Just about 2.5 minutes. And we say we don't have time. 2.5 minutes. When I did it at home, it was 2 minutes and 48 seconds. Because I stopped really long in between because I thought, I know I'll talk in between. So I gave myself a little extra time. But 2 minutes and 48 seconds. If you don't have 2 minutes and 48 seconds for the holy God of the universe that created you and sustains you and provides for you and loves you and gave his only son to die for you, you don't have problems with time management. You've got deeper problems. 2 minutes and 4. Have you ever watched a TV commercial? You can go cook dinner, run to Hardee's, come back. And they're still on the last commercial. There were 11 commercials on the other night during the news. On one break. That's the most I've ever seen. Some of those were those little 15-second ones, but still. It was almost 6 minutes of commercials. You could read 2 chapters. But you do. We often open our Bibles and we think, that's just so much. I've only got a few minutes today, Lord. Just, will you forgive me if I just read verses 1 and 2? 2 minutes and 48 seconds. To know who he is. This is our God who created us, who loves us, who knows us by name. Do you know the most beautiful word in the English language? Your name. To hear someone call your name, they know you. I was telling someone, I went to introduce somebody last night and I went blank on their name and I felt terrible. But when someone says, oh, Brenda, how are you? They know me. And there's an understanding that they have of me because they know my name. And God not only knows our name, but he knows the very hairs on our head and created us and brought us here for a specific purpose. Mary knew that about God, and that's where her focus was. She didn't go to her friend or her relative's house, Elizabeth, to whine and complain and say, "Oh, I just need to vent." That's our biggest phrase right now. I just need to vent and get it all out. And sometimes, you know what? We do need somebody with skin. We need to vent to someone to the point that we don't cross over into to gossip or into disrespect or into a distrust of who God is and what God has done for us. To share with someone else a burden. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens. That's right. That's true. But the part that they recorded for us was, and I'm sure she did. She said, "Elizabeth, you get it. You understand. The whole world is laughing at your husband because he can't even talk right now because he didn't believe." Remember that? And she probably did understand. But 1 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 tells us the comfort that you receive is the comfort that you can give someone else. And that's who she went to. And even Elizabeth said, "My baby leapt for joy when you walked in the room because it recognized that your baby is special." And then Mary went on to praise God for what he had done and who he is. What are you known for? As a woman, as a teen. Girls, I'm going to call you women too. That just makes it a lot easier. I don't have to keep clarifying because you're women too. But what is God doing through you that others will know? Are they saying, "Wow, look at Rachel. She's different." I'm picking on Rachel because I know Rachel's mom. Rachel's mom and I went to high school together many, many years ago, back with Noah and Moses, the whole gang, yeah. anyhow, but what are you known for? What do people say next to your name? Doubting Thomas. He's known for that. The Virgin Mary. She's known for her purity. And she's known for her purity of heart because there's a whole section. There are so many things that God could have recorded for us. And he said, "I want the people in 2012 to know this. So I'm going to include it in Scripture." And that's why it's there, so that we can learn from Mary and who she was. Ruth is another one. I'm not going to take a lot of time with that one this morning, but think about Ruth, a very young woman whose husband died, whose husband from a whole different country. Last night I was talking with someone about an arranged marriage. It was Mrs. Phelps was telling us that her son-in-law's brother just had an arranged marriage in India. Not only did they really not know each other that well at the time of their marriage, but they're coming to America together. So she's having brand new marriage, brand new husband, brand new friendships, brand new culture, everything like that. And you know what? That's what Ruth faced. These were not her people. That's why later she tells her mother-in-law, "Your people will now be my people, and your God will be my God." But to go back, here's Ruth in this situation where she's a young girl and she has given up everything to go marry this, and he dies. Now, in that culture, she's got nothing. She is nobody. And now she's under nobody. Here's the nobodies, and she's here. Here's the nobodies, here's the dogs, here's the cats, here's the cattle, and she's here. Because she has no husband, she cannot make an income, she cannot do anything. So not only does she have nothing, she's in a foreign land with people she doesn't know, the person she loved is gone, and now she's walking around behind people she doesn't know and gathering up their stuff that they drop, the leftovers. And Ruth says, "I'm going to follow your God." She makes that choice because she has learned of God She has seen him at work, and she knows who he is. Let's go to the book of Esther. Turn to Esther chapter 4. If you go backwards, it's Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Sorry about that. So it's right before Job. Esther chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 11 through 16. Again, Esther, not somebody in her 40s or 50s who's got it all established and down pat. And by the way, those of us in our 40s and 50s don't have it all down pat, as you all well know. Esther chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. He's talking to his cousin Esther. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, or Esther was saying them, I'm sorry. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Don't think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And then Esther told them to reply this to Mordecai, her relative. "Go and gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me." Again, showing wisdom, "Fast for me. I need them to be praying for me. I need them to be going before God and asking on my behalf," even though God's name is never mentioned in Esther, ever. "My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." As a young girl, this is what Esther could say. If I perish, I perish. I'm willing to do that because I believe in this. I know that we will be protected and saved. And I'm willing to go to bat because I believe in this. 2 Peter chapter 3 is very similar to this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, which I thought was interesting is up here. It says, "But study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." These were Old Testament women that we've looked at, other than Mary. Mary's New Testament, obviously. But pre-Christ, part of her life. But to think that they knew who God was so thoroughly and wanted to serve him with all of their lives. As teens, as women, that's what we need to be doing. Again, you have problems in your youth group with wrong behavior? Well, you can give them a whole list and you can teach and teach and teach and teach about right behavior. Or you can say, "Look at who God is. And when we know who God is, how can I do less than give him my best and live for him completely after all he's done for me?" Their old chorus sings. And knowing God and knowing him with all of our hearts and all of our lives is where our focus needs to be. Scripture includes these people for our example. We're told that in Hebrews. These things were written down as an example for you to know that, you know what, they survived it. Look at Joseph. Joseph was a young man, a teen. Now, a teen who I truly think maybe kind of rubbed his brother's noses in it perhaps a couple times. He may have been a little overly joyful that he was the number one son, but that gave them no right to do what they did. And his brothers took him and sold him. And he said, "But God," at the end of his life. He said, "You know what? You meant all of this for evil. Everything that happened, you meant to hurt me, to stop me. But God meant it for good." We've all had people, teens especially, who are saying things that aren't kind. They're not building you up. They're trying to tear you down to make themselves look better. It happens to all of us, even as adults. They mean it for evil, but God meant it for good. And you think, well, how can that be good? Because you grow stronger in your reliance on Him. Because you can look at others and think, you know what? There's a new girl that they're picking on. I'm going to go ask her to have lunch with me. There's a new lady in my church that doesn't know anybody. I'm going to go and help her. There's a person who had the same kind of surgery that I had. You can tell her you're praying for her. You can tell her you care, but you didn't have that surgery. I did. So I understand. I can go to her and I can help her because God allowed me to do that for His good and my glory. My good. Ah! Backwards. My good and His glory.
My attitude is probably back here, but I'm thinking that she could be the next one to
Socrates. Yeah. And there you go. But you want to make sure that as you approach people when they're like that, that our response is not, well, I'm better than you, so I'm not going to do that. We're not called to be holier than thou, but we are called to be holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. How do we know how holy God is? We study Him. We know Him. We learn about Him. Several years ago, I was in the Philippines, and the girls there were just little sweethearts. We were at a Christian college, and we were there for a little over a week with my parents, and I got to help out at this college with a music group and just enjoyed getting to be there at Dome Baptist Seminary in Iloilo City, Philippines. Wonderful place, and these girls took me out one afternoon. They said, "Mom Brenda, everything was Mom Brenda, Mom Brenda, afternoon, Mom Brenda." But they would say, let's go for a walk. Let's go for a praise walk. Okay. I don't know what that is. So we went for this praise walk. And we started walking, and the first one said, A, Almighty. B, Blessed. C, Creator. And we went through the alphabet as we walked, talking about who God is, different names of God, different character qualities, nothing like the Magnificat, nothing like Mary's eloquent words as a young girl because she knew God so well, but because we knew Him, we could describe Him. When I drive to work in the morning, it takes me 12 minutes. And in 12 minutes, I can do a very slow praise ride. Or you can do a praise ride or a praise walk or a praise run or a praise sleep. When you're lying in bed at night and you're thinking, I have this to do and this to do and this to do. No, He is my all in all. He is my beloved. He is Christ. He's my deliverer. He's the eternal Father who is great and holy and infinite and just and kind and loving. He's mine. He's near. He's the only wise God. He's precious. He's the quietness within my soul. He's my redeemer, my strength. He's trustworthy. He's understanding. He's the victor. You got to cheat on these last three. He's excellent. Wait, I forgot W. He's wonderful. He's wise. He's excellent. He's Yahweh, or yesterday, today, and forever the same as well. He is the zeal of my soul. And you say it the next time, and you're going to come up with a whole new list. And you're going to come up with a list usually based on that day's needs. You got a big crisis coming? He's my deliverer. I'm going to hang on to that. And when we know who God is, it changes how we look at things. And instead of saying, but God, you don't know my parents. Because you know what? When you get before Him someday, you don't get to say, wait just a minute. Mom, could you come here? Because I need to explain why I did what I did. You stand before Him alone. Same with our salvation. Mom, you were saved, so that means I am, right? You accepted Christ as your Savior, so that makes me a believer. That makes me a Christian. And He says, no. Every man shall give account for the deeds that are done. Each of us individually. I want us to take just a minute and do a little praise sit. Okay? And I want you to see how easy it is, because if you leave with nothing else today, I want you going home thinking of who God is. Because in just the very, 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 very few minutes we're allowed to have together this morning, we get to look at who God is. And we see teens that have had struggles, problems like adults have too. Teens today, adults today. There's nothing new under the sun. He's the same God. Start with A. He's amiable. Very good. That must have been the vocabulary word this week. What about B? I'm going to repeat your words, so go ahead. Something with the letter B.
Blameless.
He's blameless. I've never used that one. I love that. I'm going to copy that one. Go ahead.
C?
Yes. He is constant. That is excellent. Wonderful. Dandina, what about D?
Deity.
He is deity. Wow. That says so much right there, doesn't it? He is deity. E.
Everlasting.
He's everlasting. What about F?
Followable.
He's what?
Followable.
Followable. We can follow him because we know he will lead.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd. He's going to lead me down the right paths of righteousness. He's God. What about H? What about holy? What were you going to say?
I was going to say
hope. He's our hope. You girls are coming up with great ones. That's awesome. G, or I.
Immutable.
Wonderful. I had a fourth grader once use indefatigable. I don't even know what he meant, where he found that one. But anyhow, yeah, it's awesome. Never grows weary, so that's great. Immutable, though. That's awesome. H-I-J.
Just.
He's just. He is a just God. K.
Kind.
He's kind. That's a big word.
Okay.
To be kind. We're often kind with stipulations. I'll be kind to you if you be kind to me. And he is kind. L. Loving. That's huge. M. He's magnificent. N.
Never ending.
Never ending. Exactly. O.
Oh, very good. Thank you. Omniscient.
Omniscient. He knows all. He is an all-knowing God. L, M, N, O, P. He's precious. Oh, I love that word. Q. That's the hard one. I always cheat and say he's the quietness of my soul, or he leads me in quietness. That's,
quiet,
yeah, yeah, in quietness. Elemental P, Q, R. He is righteous. S.
I had one. Was it? He is sovereign.
Sovereign. Wonderful. What about T?
Timeless.
Timeless. Always constantly the same. Somebody said constant before. That's excellent. Very good. And let me be curious. T, you. Dandina, you're you. Oh, you're you? I'm sorry. I'm going with the wrong directions here.
I'm going to go with unchanging.
He's very good. She's kind of caught on that word. That's awesome. Unchanging. Excellent. T, U, V.
Valuable.
That's awesome. W. Worthy. Yeah, worthy of our praise, worthy of everything, exactly. X. You have to cheat, I think. Well, the only one I came up with once is in Esther. She talks about she's here for such a time as this. But even the king had to be there for such a time as this, and his name was Xerxes.
There you go.
So he is also Xerxes' creator. So we came up with that one once, and we figured that one worked. So, yeah, he's excellent. I'll stick with that, too. That's good. X, Y.
Either Yahweh or Yireni.
Your Redeemer, that's excellent too. And Yahweh, the Old Testament word primarily that was used for God. And Z. There aren't very many, are there? The zeal. Zeal of my soul, or he's the zeal. He is zealous for us, the Bible tells us. Or he is the zenith of all that I do, the peak.
Oh, yeah, the S.
Our shepherd.
He sees right through us.
That's right. He can see into it. That's exactly right. He knows our thoughts and our words and our deeds. But know who God is. I don't get many minutes. There are 12 million things that I would love to share with you today. And I have to give little bits and pieces to make you want to go home and say, I want to know more about who God is. Again, if you're dealing with women, if you're dealing with other teenagers, you know, teens, Titus chapter 2 tells us older women teach the younger women. There are fourth and fifth graders that are looking at you today going, did you see that cute braid in her hair? I want to do that someday. That's so cool. And they're looking to you. And they're watching your smile. And they're saying, she has a heart for God because she took time on a Saturday and went to learn more about him. I want to be like her when I'm a teenager. Teens are looking to their youth pastors' wives and saying, I want to be like her. Youth pastors' wives are looking at the older women in their church saying, I want to be like her. She's been through a deep valley, and yet she's praising God. And I want to learn from that person. But they're not learning to be like us. The braid illustration probably wasn't the best one, but they're still looking at something that draws them to you. And then they see your heart. And they're not pointed to you, but when you're a godly Christian woman, you're pointing them back to Christ and saying, no, I'm just the see-through mirror. Look on the other side. That's where it is. Psalm chapter 102. Turn with me to these three psalms very quickly. Psalm 102, verse 25. Rachel, would you read it nice and loudly so everyone can hear, please? I'm going to come stand by you because they want it to kind of be recorded for the system. 102, verse 25.
Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands.
In the heavens are the works of thy hands. Have you noticed the moon the last couple nights? Unbelievable. It's huge. And this big giant, it's so colorful too. It's not just that dreary kind of whitish yellow. It's deep, deep, deep goldish orange and fuchsia mixed in and everything kind of going on at the same time until it gets a little bit higher in the earth, but or in the sky. But God hung that there and placed those things. Psalm 148, verse 5 is going to be our next one. Rachel, I'm just going to have you keep reading for us, please, because you're easiest to reach up here.
Mm-hmm. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he hath commanded, and they were created.
He commanded, and they were created. He put the stars there. To know that about who God is, I love looking at the stars. That's that whole moon thing just was like, wow, that's so cool. But to look at the stars, because I'm reminded that he not only put them all in space, but later on, Psalm 147, verse 4. Go back. Let's read that one real quick, too. 147, verse 4.
He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names.
He calls them by name. We started by saying the most beautiful word in the English language is your name. He knows your name. The holy God of all creation created you and knows your name. He created the stars and knows their names. This is who my God is. I'm going to share with you an illustration that is not original with me, but someone shared in a book. On any given night, you can look up and there are 7,000 stars visible to the naked eye. 7,000. He hung them all and knows them all by name. Right above you, in your region of the world, you can see about 2,000 of those. So you're only seeing a little bit. When we look, we think, oh, okay, well, 7,000 stars, but they're probably more. You're only seeing about 2,000 of them. He hung them all, and he knows them all by name. Scientists believe that in our galaxy alone, there are 200 billion stars. He hung them all, and he knows them all by name. But there are more galaxies. And it is believed by scientists who are believers as well as scientists who are non-believers that in all there are 3,000 million billion stars. That's a 3 with 16 zeros behind it. And he knows them all by name and created them. So what possible problem could you have that he can't handle? And what possible need could you have that he cannot supply? That's what Mary knew when she told us who God was, because she knew him. She understood his power as God. She understood that he was Adonai, beloved bridegroom, creator and Christ, divine deliverer, eternal and everlasting, faithful father, good and great, holy and honest, immutable and infinite, and on the alphabet goes. But this is what Mary knew about her God. We didn't have to teach Mary about modesty because she knew who God was. That was the natural outpouring of knowing who God is. Learning modesty is important. Please don't misunderstand that I'm saying that you don't have to do that. Mary didn't have to think about what kind of boyfriend to have or what kind of man to marry if that was God's choosing for her, because she knew who God was and she wanted a man who loved God, and God chose that for her. Mary didn't have to worry about what was going to happen to her in spite of the fact that her culture disowned her and mocked her. Instead, she knew who God was and focused on that. And so instead of saying, "But God, how come I have to be the one to go through this? Why do I have to be lonely? Why does my family have to think I did something wrong? Why does my family have to not love me anymore?" Instead, she said, "I am unworthy, but God chose me to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ." Because she knew who God was, she could serve him with all of her heart. I would encourage you today, on your way home, girls, have a praise ride with your mom in the car on the way home. I have a friend, and it's very easy for her to gossip and me to gossip back with her. And when we sit in the car together, we praise ride instead, because we want the words of our mouth to be pleasing in the Lord's sight. And so we'll sit and say, "Who is God to you today?" "He's my shepherd because he led me. He is trustworthy. I know he'll never fail me." I don't need to go back through the list. We've already gone through it. But know who God is. Knowing him and desiring to be like him and following him will transform your life beyond recognition. If we walk out of this room today knowing who God is and wanting to be like him because of who he is, there's no telling what you can do in your church, in your family, in your youth group. As God uses you with a pure and clean heart because of your knowledge, growing knowledge of him and who he is, that he can't use you. And do it in a mighty way. There are a few books that are down at the book table that you have this amazing bookstore. I'm talking about knowing God and not sinning. It's very hard not to envy because they are just awesome. Girls, if you have to choose between going out for lunch next week or buying a book, I would buy one of these books because even though the lunch will be with you forever on your hips, these will be in your mind and in your heart, and this will help you to grow. A Young Woman's Guide to Making Right Choices by Elizabeth George. These are like around $10-ish. That's not bad at all. It's really not for something that's going to be there. A Young Woman Who Reflects the Heart of Jesus. I don't know if you all have done this book or not. Grace for Every Trial by Betty Henderson from here at Colonial Hills. Betty Henderson was my babysitter when I was in fourth grade. She was my dad's secretary. That was not one of the trials. That was one of my greatest life blessings. This is probably why she wrote the book, Grace for Every Trial. I had to babysit Brenda. No. But what an excellent book on the book of Job. You want to know somebody who knew about God and who learned about God? This is it. And it's not like, oh, Job, if I read that, I'm going to have trials. It's like, oh, when I read Job, I learn more about who God is. And it's exciting instead of drudgery. It's a great book. My Biography of God that Mrs. Collier has done, excellent, 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 excellent way to look at who God is and just going through and saying, here's what I learned about God today. And you're going to do the same thing for free with a praise walk. So you can, if you have to choose, I choose. And then Lies Young Women Believe and Lies Women Believe by our wonderful lady, Nancy Lee DeMoss. But there's a book that is incredible that I love and I'm strongly recommending this week. If you haven't read it yet, Choosing Gratitude by Nancy Lee DeMoss. We get to choose so many things in our life. I'm sorry, we don't get to choose so many things in our life. Things happen to us. God allows them. People cause them. But we do get to choose gratitude. I have a little bracelet that a friend, because she knows I'm so big on gratitude, gave me, and it says gratitudes. And you're supposed to do it every day, and then you're supposed to, you know, G, I'm thankful for good things, R, I'm thankful for Rebecca, my friend, or whatever. Well, I go through it and I try to do gratitudes and I do words for God or names of God. But choosing gratitude, again, I'm not real big on saying it's a must-read book because I love to read and so every book is a must-read. But this, if you don't read, this is still a must-read. It's a great book, and it's got a 30-day devotional guide in the back. Once you complete the book, you go through 30 days of choosing gratitude, and it becomes a habit. It's awesome. Great book. Ladies, thank you so very much for your time and for taking the time this morning to be here. I know we had to cram a lot of little tiny thoughts into a very short time, but the main thought is know God and say, here's all of this, but God is all of these things to me. Father, thank you this morning again for who you are. I thank you for each of these ladies, and I ask that you would impart your words in their hearts. Keep me out of the way, but let their thoughts be on what they have learned of you and what they will remember of you and what they will continue to learn of you in those 2 minutes and 48 seconds that they devote to you each day or more. And so, Lord, we thank you that you have taught us from your word. Let us use it and live it today. In your name we pray. Amen.